The issue of Orla, Suffolk Orla and Chutzlaretz, has some other interesting applications that we'll just mention briefly before we get on to the next mitzvah, which is with two plants that are very widely consumed nowadays, but it's not clear at all that they're kosher. One is eggplant, and the other is...
Wow.
And the other is papaya.
Oh, papaya, right.
Why? Okay. Eggplants and papayas do not grow in the ground or on small things like other vegetables. Rather, they grow from a sort of large stalk that grows and it lasts for a few years, and then it dies. So it's sort of in between.
Papaya? No. Papaya is true because the fruit grows out from the side of the tree or something weird like that. Also, right? Papaya, the eggplant? The eggplant? No, we've grown eggplants. They don't get high. They don't get very tall. Also,
they don't get tall.
But maybe they survive more than 1 year. I have no idea.
Yeah, I think they definitely survive more than 1 year. Okay. We'll go online and we'll review the pictures of the eggplant and the papaya trees. But the question is, since these plants are the opposite of fruit trees. Most fruit trees, we'll see, when we talk about Netar Avai, that they don't grow much fruit in the first 3 years anyway. So the prohibition of Orla is usually not that relevant. But these things, should they be considered trees, are almost exclusively Orla. So, for that reason, there was a big discussion amongst the poskim as to whether these were considered trees or whether they're considered vegetables. What bracha do we make on eggplants and papayas? We make Bar Priya Adama on both, indicating
there. I don't know.
The papaya, we also make Bar Priya Adama. There were some post-game hold that you make Bar Priya Eitz, but we make Lamaisa Bar Priya Adama because there's a suffix as to whether it should be considered a tree or a vegetable. And when there is such a suffix, so obviously you go with a bracha, Bar Priya Adama, which is a more inclusive bracha as opposed to Bar Priya Eitz, which is less inclusive, and your Yotze Bar Priya Adama, even if you make it on a tree fruit. Anyway. There's already a discussion about eggplant in the times of the Beis Yosef, that the Beis Yosef has a tshuva if eggplants are kosher, because they grow for the first couple of years on the plant, and the plant dies, and then you have to replant it. And should that be considered orla or not? So he writes, no, he thinks that for several reasons, because it doesn't have the tzura of a tree for different things, whatever it is, and the great rabbis all ate eggplants, so it must be kosher, just like they all drank New York City water, but that's a different story. So the Maisa, we accept the idea that eggplant is basically vadai, a vegetable, and it's not. There's no shilas of orla whatsoever. So papaya is actually more of a question. So for that reason, since it's the papaya is almost vadai orla, because the main fruit from the tree is only the first couple years of the existence, if it is Bari Pri Heights. So the Badats in Israel, the Eda Charedis, will actually not give a hechsher to papaya grown in Eretz Yisrael. They will only give a hechsher, you'll see if you go to a Badats fruit stand, you only find dried papaya. Because they will only give a hechsher to papaya that's grown in Chutz Laretz, because at least you have a Safek Kol Shehu, that maybe it's not actually Orla. And they say, Lamaisa, you say Bari Pri Hadam on papayas, but for the reason that it's a Safek tree. It's not a Vade tree, but in Eretz Yisrael, when there's a Shaila of Orla, you have to go. Eggplant was resolved already. We hold it's not Orla, it's a vegetable. Papaya has not been completely resolved, so therefore, in Eretz Yisrael, you have to treat it stringently. Other poskim, Rav Avadia Yosef, and another poskim, Paskin, know that the papaya also is Vade, not a tree. It's vegetables, therefore you don't have to be concerned about Orla at all. Even if you know, you'd say, picked it off the tree and it's Orla, you don't have to be concerned. But some people say, no, this doesn't seem like the mahalach that we were going with last time, but some people say you're not allowed, papaya is not kosher at all, even outside of Israel, because since it's basically for sure that it's from the first 3 years, so then it's, and if you consider it a tree, then it must be a problem. But with Maisli Paskin, it's not a Vadai tree, so if it's a Suffolk tree, so that will fall into the category of Suffolk or Lebuchutz Laretz.
You have to say there's no doubt about being a tree, because otherwise you have the principle being any Suffolk.
Yes,
being,
right.
The cooler.
Right. Correct. So there is a possibility maybe that some of the papayas are grown after the first 3 years of the tree. Mm-hmm. But some people say that you should be extremely, extremely careful not to make a Bari Pri Ha'etz on papaya. Because if you make a Bari Pri Ha'etz on papaya, then it's a tarta de sasre. Yeah. If you make a Bari Pri Ha'etz, you're eating Orla. If you don't make Bari Pri Ha'etz, you're not eating Orla. Okay, whatever it is. So it's not... Most poskim holds that bidyevet bari priha eats some papaya is good because it grows on some sort of tree-like thing, even if you don't consider a problem of oral, especially in chutz laretz. But some of the more lenient heksherim will give a heksher to papaya, even if grown in eretz as well. Just wanted to raise your attention to these particular issues where they're very much lemaisa when it comes to the issue of suffik oral and applying it outside the land of Israel. Mitzvah Reish Mem Zayin 247, which is the corollary mitzvah to Orla, mitzvahs Netta Revai, the planting of the fourth. What's the planting of the fourth? Leos Netta Revai Kulo Kodesh, that the planting of the fourth year should be entirely holy. Perush Kol Perot Sayotzin Ba'ilan Bashana HaRevias Lintiaso Heim Kodesh. So for the year after Orla, Orla is the first 3 years, then you have the tree, and it's now entering its fourth year. So all the fruit that grows in the fourth year is holy fruit. So what does it mean, holy fruit? It doesn't mean that you have to give it to the Kohen, or you have to give it to some other religious functionary, or eat it, you know, only on Shabbos. No, what does it mean? It means that you have to eat it, has the same din as Maiser Sheni. So Maiser Sheni is not a particularly big hardship. Because with other Trumas and Maisris, you have to take it out of your house and you have to give it to the Kohen or to the Levi. But Maisr Sheni, you get to keep. You just have restrictions on where you have to eat it. But you'll see, we'll see in a minute that even though you're supposed to eat the Maisr Sheni in your Shlaim, there is a way to not eat in your Shlaim, as we'll see. Vezoi Kedushasan, that's the holiness involved in Maisr, in Netar of Aisha Namar, Untatem Kol Eitz Machal, Bashnar Visiye Kol Birkodesh Shilulim Lashem. So in the fourth year, all of its fruit shall be the holy, as holy of praising to God. Doesn't mean that you literally give it to God, that you offer it as a korban. Or give it to a kohen. That you eat it in Yerushalayim. That's the praising of the fruit. So shorthand in the language of Chazal for the fruit that grows in the fourth year of the tree is netta revai, the planting of the fourth. There's another pasuk that says that every man shall have his holy stuff. And most of the holy things go to the Kohanim. So Sifri notes, Halachic Medrash on Bamidbar says that the Toda and the Shlomim, the thanks offering and called the peace offering and the Pesach, the Korban Pesach and Maaser Behema, and that you tithe your animals every year, Maaser Sheni v'Netar Avai u'Labayim, and then of course Maaser Sheni and Netar Avai, which have the exact same din, go are to the owners of the produce. So basically Maaser Sheni is once you've separated the truma, which is a minute amount. The Chacham gave a shear on it, so 1/50 or 1/40, 1/60. And then you have to separate another tenth of what's left and give it to the Levi. And then of what's left, you separate another tenth of that, not a tenth of the total, tenth of whatever is a tenth of whatever's left, and that's considered Maaser Sheni, and then you're done with your Hafreshes Trumas and Maaseres after you've already separated, you know, about a fifth of more than a fifth of your produce is gone, but then the rest has no restrictions whatsoever. So again, Netta Revai is completely analogous to Maaser Sheni. Mishorshia Mitzvah, so why do we have this Mitzvah of Netta Revai? And again, remember, in the original order of Sefer Chinuch, this came before Orla, so this is going to explain the reason for Orla also. Sheratza Hakel Liosa Adam is Orer Lahal Hashem Baruch Hu B'tchilas Mivchar Peros Ilanosav. So the Torah wanted us to give special praise to God when our fruit trees begin giving forth fruit. Kedeshi anuach alav noam Hashem v'rechasto v'yizbarchu perosav. So since we give recognition to God, so more blessing is going to come down on the rest of our fruit. Ki akel atov chafetz b'tov bir Yosef, God wants our good. V'lechein sivanu la'alosan v'lecholosan mokom shebachar v'meikedem la'avodoso baruchu. So he wants us to eat it in Yerushalayim. So that will have a holy experience when we first experience the new fruits of these trees, and we're gonna have a greater spiritual connection to God, and there from out of that blessing will then flow to the rest of our endeavors, especially fruit related. Ki sham tziva Hashem es habracha mivchar peros ilan hamayotzim b'shana harvias. Apparently, I mean, I'm not a farmer, so I don't know this for sure, but apparently the most desirable fruits, the best quality, come in the fourth year of the tree. Okay, maybe. Ve'od yesh to'eles la'adam b'yoso mitzave lechol b'makom ha'mutzuve lechol makom u'kitzas b'rosav. So it's also good for us that we have to have the occasions where we have no choice but to go to Yerushalayim if we want to eat our fruit. Kigon zeh u'maiser sheni v'gam maiser behema. So what we net the revai in maiser sheni, and when we separate 1/10 of our animals to take them to Yerushalayim as a korban. Because when you go visit Yerushalayim, so maybe one of your kids will pop in a koilel in Yerushalayim, and he'll say, this looks good. Maybe I wanna stay in koilel. Kisham mori haTorah v'ikra chokma, that most of the great rabbis of the world live in Yerushalayim. So same thing happens with Maaser Sheni, that we want to give people opportunities to go to Yerushalayim because you have more exposure to higher levels of Torah learning and Torah wisdom. The Rabban zichrono levracha kosa b'tam mitzvah zo b'perushav. The Ramban writes in his commentary on the Torah, kedei lechabed Hashem eireishis kol tvaseinu v'lenochal me'en hachanavi kol pri hashana achas hilulim Hashem. So the reason is that it's sort of like a mater for the rest of the fruits after the fourth year. You had the 3 years of Orla, where you weren't allowed to eat any of the fruit or derive any benefit from it whatsoever. And so there's a shiloh, by the way, if you're not allowed to derive any benefit from the fruit whatsoever, so how does it make sense? The Minchas Chinuch points this out, that when we said last time that, at least according to Sefer Chinuch, although others disagree with this, he says that if your friend comes to your house and starts taking fruit off your fruit tree in your backyard, then you for sure to be orla, you don't have to stop him, because in his mind, it's a sofeg orla. Mm-hmm. So that's all that matters when it comes to orla and chutz laretz. So he says, how could that be? So that's not a hana. I mean, that is hana. I'm sorry. That is hana. You're getting hana from your fruit from that tree. So how could it be? So he brings shitas that maybe orlas chutz laretz is not aser bano. It's only aser bachila. Maybe that's just part of the way the halacha works, since then it goes by the person's mind individually, that you're not doing it directly. It's a question. So the Ramban says, v'inei ein apri besoch shalosh roi lakrivo lefi shehu ma'muat. So during the first 3 years of the tree's life, it doesn't produce much fruit. So orla is not such a hardship, but it's also won't give you, when we want to start taking the fruit of the tree in the fourth year, let's say God said only you shouldn't eat the fruit for 1 year, but then in the second year you can start eating the fruit, and that's going to be when you have to bring it to Yerushalayim. So you're going to go to the tree and you're going to get this tiny little plum, and you know it's going to be withered and it's not going to fruit because the tree hasn't reached maturity yet to produce good fruit. So it's not going to be nice. You're not going to get the proper mental awakening from this nebi fruit that you would from the gishmaka fruit of the fourth year. This doesn't taste or smell good. Most trees don't really give fruit at all until the fourth year that has been planted. So because most trees don't give until the fourth year, so we have to wait for all the trees. The mitzvah zos dome lebikurim. It's similar to the first fruits that you have to bring to the Beis HaMikdash every year, that you need to, the idea is that before you get the rest, you enjoy the rest of your food in the normal manner. The first, at least, you should be particularly connected to God and giving thanks for this fruit by taking it to Yerushalayim. The od kasav ki emes adavar od shapri betchilas nityasu adashon ravias rav halachos davik meod. Okay? So in the until the fourth year, during the years of Orla, so not only are they lower quality, but they're very, very moist. And we know in ancient medical thinking, so eating too much foods with excessive amounts of moisture was not good for you.
Oh, today they tell you to hydrate.
That doesn't mean you shouldn't drink water, but of course, I mean, in those days they didn't drink much water either. They always drink water mixed with wine or beer. Mazik laguv veinenu tov lachila. So it's considered detrimental to the body, not good for eating when it has too much moisture in it. Kedag shein lo kaskeses v'machalim anasar betorah shemraim gam laguv. So this is what the certain authority said is the reason for also certain prohibitions regarding kashrus, that shellfish apparently is also very high in moisture, more so than, I mean, I don't know if it means physical water molecules or some other type of moisture that we don't exactly understand with our medical understanding nowadays.
Pathogens, I mean, that's, you know, it's like, you can get sick from shellfish easily, so, yeah.
Okay. Right.
But again, but the health idea of right. Consciousness is really about health.
Of course.
Something we like to encourage, I don't think.
Of course.
It might be 100%. A byproduct. The health might be a byproduct.
Yeah, this is just, again, these reasons are...
Salt and cholesterol aren't... are kosher, so all sorts of things are,
Right, so these reasons, as the Sefer HaKadosh points out many times, they're not the be-all and end-all, they're just to be matein the mitzvah. They're just to help it, us get a little taste for what it might be all about, but of course it's not the be-all and end-all. In any event, so or the fruit in the first 3 years of the tree's life is like shellfish, that it's not, it's too moist and it's not good for you. That was just my image that I was conjuring, that the fruit was nebbi. I don't know exactly what the consistency of the fruit is.
Unripe. Raw.
I don't know. We have to... My grandparents-in-law have a avocado tree in their backyard in Florida.
Oh, cool.
So I wanted to... I think my wife wanted to say... we were saying, oh, so we should ask them, oh, how long have, I don't remember this last time I was here, we should ask them when they planted it. I said, no, don't ask them, let's just eat it. If they tell you that it's when they planted it and it's our loss, so
then... 5 years from now, you can ask them when they planted it.
Right. Midinei HaMitzvah, the halachos are as follows. Masha Amru Zichronim Livracha, the sages tell us, Sharotza Livdos Neta Rivai Podehu Kemo Maiser Sheni. So there is a mechanism to avoid eating the fruit in Yerushalayim. Let's say you have a big farm and you have 12 truckloads of fruit if you were to take it to Yerushalayim. So that's extremely onerous, expensive. It's too much. So what do? You can redeem it, the same as you do Maiser Sheni. Shehu Nifta. It can be redeemed. Shalomar shepode haperos bekasef umala kasef l'Yerushalayim. So what you do in that case is you take some coins. This is in a time where you can't eat Maaser Sheni. Nowadays we can't eat Maaser Sheni at all because you need to have a mizbeach built. So you can't eat Maaser Sheni at all. But in the olden days when they had a mizbeach and a Beis Hamikdash, so they used to say, let's say the fruit was worth $100. So they would take 100 $1 coins, because you have to use a coin, you can't use a bill, according to the vast majority of shittas. So you take 100 $1 coins, or shekel coins, or whatever it is, and you say, so I redeem all the value of this fruit onto these coins. Now these coins become holy instead of the fruit. The fruit now becomes completely normal, you can eat it in any manner you want, and the coins now become holy. And then you take the coins to Yerushalayim, and once you're in Yerushalayim, you go to Machane Yehuda, to a store with a proper hechsher, and you buy all the fruit and vegetables, or even meats, or other edible things that you want. you eat those in Yerushalayim in the place of the fruits that you left at home.
All of that in Yerushalayim. I mean, you can buy a whole lot of them. If the amount of... or products you had to send was just too enormous for you to take to Yerushalayim.
Well, you can buy more expensive stuff in Yerushalayim.
Oh, okay.
So instead of let's say you're a broccoli farmer, I'm talking about Sashini, obviously, there's no orla and broccoli, so let's say you're a broccoli farmer and you have 25 bushels of broccoli, and for that you normally get
25 trucks full of.
Okay, you have 25 trucks full of broccoli. For those 25 trucks full of broccoli, you get $50,000.
Okay, you have to spend that in Yerushalayim and eat the food.
So instead of buying another $50,000 worth of broccoli in Yerushalayim, you just get 500 You get 500 really expensive steaks. I get $100 steaks, huge fat.
And you have to
eat them 500 all.
Steaks either.
Oh, you can share them. You don't have to eat them all yourself.
Okay.
You can share them. If you redeem it for yourself, you have to add a fifth. And how much is a fifth, Mrs. Hirsch? You're a math teacher. So Mrs. Hirsch is thinking like a contemporary mathematician. She's not wrong, but it's not what it means in the Torah. A chomesh means in the Torah means a fifth once you add the extra part. So it's 25%. So once you add let's say you had $100 in Maaser Sheni, you have to add another 25, so with the total of 125, so the 25 is a fifth of it. That's what a fifth means in the Torah. So there's a penalty. In other words, since the ideal original formulation of the mitzvah is you actually schlep all the food to Yerushalayim, the Maaser Sheni or the Neter Ravai, so since you have a penalty, Since you're not doing that, you're redeeming it, you have to add a fifth of the value, which we would call today a quarter of the value, to the amount, and add that onto the coins and spend that in Yerushalayim and for my Sushenu
Netar. That's a good question. Who are you going to sell the stuff to?
What do you mean?
For 100 coins.
Hmm? Not sell, buy.
No, when you're... Oh, you're just...
Your coins now you have to use to buy food in Yerushalayim.
Yeah, when you're home, you sell it.
But what I mean is, when you're home, you sell it, you get 100 coins, and you take the 100 coins. Who's going to buy it?
What do you mean?
Anybody.
Who's going to buy your stuff? No, they have to go to Yerushalayim, too.
No. The fruit that you now redeemed is not holy anymore.
Yeah.
The holiness got transferred onto the coins.
Oh, so you can...
You can do whatever you want with the fruits that remain. The Shekenu Adin B'Maiser Shady Midirsi Bevim Gol Yigal Ish B'Maisro.
If you don't have 100 coins,
you get them.
So you sell it.
There are shittas that you can redeem it onto other fruits of equivalent.
It's your 100 coins, right?
Right.
You've got all this stuff. I can't schlep it to you.
Except you can't spend 100 coins on anything else.
No, but the thing is, supposing I'm running really close to the bone this month or this whatever, and I don't have 100 coins.
You got to take the food to Yerushalayim. You can't have it both ways. You have to. You have it.
Don't become a farmer in Eretz Yisrael.
This
way,
uh-huh.
A
certain way.
Well, that's but people have to eat. You have to farm.
Moshe Rabbeinu, when he looked at the land, he said he really wants to go into the land just to be able to observe all the mitzvos atlius baris, the trumas umaisris, and whatever. So, right. If we emulate Moshe Rabbeinu if you're a farmer in Eretz Yisrael. Again, you're right. It is. It's not easy. It's not easy. But Moshe Rabbeinu was dying to fulfill all these mitzvos, but it is hard. You're right. And I'm not denying that. But okay. Fine. So the Torah says, "Im goli galish mimasro chamisha zav yosef lav." You should add a fifth. But let's say you're being very nice, and you are an accountant, and you have a neighbor who's a farmer, and you have a lot of coins. Not that accountants have a lot of coins necessarily, as I would know. But let's say you happen to have a lot of coins, and your friend the farmer says, "I'm out of coins this month." Your case. Your friend the farmer says, I'm out of coins this month. Can you please, borrow your, not borrow your coins, but can you please redeem my Maaser Sheni onto your coins, and I'll pay you back in bills or whatever it is, but I want the coins to be in your possession. You redeem it for me, and that's it. So if that's the case, you don't have to add the chomesh. It's only if both the produce and the coins belong to you. There's questions if you're allowed to do this keseder, lechatchila, so you don't have to add the chomesh. You know, just to always use someone else's coins to be po to the Maaser Sheni. They have a thing in Eretz Yisrael now called Keren HaMaisris. So Keren HaMaisris, so people have Maaser Sheni nowadays. Because they live in Eretz Yisrael, and they have to redeem their net Ravai and their Maaser Sheni. So they have this institution called Keren HaMaisris that keeps a ton of coins. So you don't have to keep a special coin designated for Maaser Sheni in your house. You have this central location, this institute that has the coins, and you subscribe, you pay them a fee, and you have the right to use their coins. It's also very helpful because there's something called when you have Maaser Sheni that's worth less than a pruta, then you can't use a new coin for it. You have to tack it on to something that's already, that the Maaser Sheni that already exists. So this is
Amazon Prime add-on.
All right.
So sometimes it's hard to find a coin that is called what we call colloquially a pruta chamura. Mm-hmm. That it's hard to find a coin that already has Vadai Maaser Sheni redeemed onto it. So they make it their business to have these coins available. They have all these shticks to do because sometimes you have to destroy the Maaser Sheni coins. So sometimes it's hard to come by after that.
Why do you have to destroy them?
Every couple of years before Shemitah, and before 3 years before, you have to destroy the Maaser Sheni coins.
Why do you have to do that?
Be your Maaseris. You have to get rid of it. We're not talking about huge amounts in general. You're really supposed to spend it all. Also, we'll see in a few minutes that nowadays it's different.
Ocean, I think, too,
right, you could throw it, right. But nowadays it's nowadays it's a little different also because we don't redeem it the full value, which we'll discuss in a few minutes. So if you have Keren HaMaisris, so seemingly also, so the coins don't belong to you, you just have permission to use them if you want, so then you always get out of Chomesh. Okay? But that it's a very convenient thing, Keren HaMaisris. So a lot of people subscribe, so they don't have to deal with the hassle of having a Maaser Sheni coin. V'ein poden oso ad yagia l'onas hamaser. You can't redeem it until it gets to the tithable stage. What is tithable stage? Shneamar bo lohosiv lachem tevuah. So to add onto it your produce, v'dorshu zichrono levracha ad yaseh tevuah. It has to become a has become produce. If it's still a little nothing bud on the tree, that's not real produce. Kilomar shigia l'onas ha'aseh v'shlish bishulo. The received tradition is that it means a third of the full ripening of the fruit is when it's barely edible, and then you would be allowed to harvest it and consider it miser, or avai. Vein podin oso b'mechubber, you can't redeem it when it's still attached to the tree. Kamo miser l'das aram israel l'racha v'acherim perishu dafil b'mechubber podin oso. So some of the shittas hold, the Rash, he says here, the Rash, which is one of the major commentaries on the Mishnayos, especially on the areas where we don't have Gemara. So the Rash is very important in understanding the Mishnayos. He has long explanations of all the Mishnayos. And he says that you're allowed to even redeem it when it's on the tree. But the Rambam holds it the same as Maaser Sheni, and Rambam holds very strongly that the Maaser Sheni are basically completely identical, and he holds that you would not be allowed to redeem when it's still attached to the tree. V'hunikra mamun gavoa kemo Maaser, it's called the monetary acquisition of God, of the Most High. You can't give it as a present. It still belongs to you. I mean, not belongs to you, it belongs to God, but it's in your possession, unless you give it before this time when the fruit is still developing and it has not yet reached the time of the miser. So until that time, the issue of revai doesn't even relate to this fruit yet. It's all the same. You can use it. The ways you're allowed to use it is the same as in Maaser Sheni. Mitzvah Maaser Sheni. So we'll get to the details about Maaser Sheni when we get to this issue in Parshas Rei in Seder Dvarim, which is Sefer Dvarim 473. So we do have a while. Hapoda Kerem Revai. If you want to redeem a vineyard that is neta revai, that is the fourth year of its planting, because grapes, of course, have the status of a tree fruit. Rotza podei anovim, rotza podehu yayin. If you want, you could make it into wine first and then separate the tithe, the revai, redeem the revai. The chena zesim, the same thing if you have fourth year olive trees. Al sharaperos podos and kodem shishtan v'biyosim. You're not allowed to redeem it when it's juiced. You have to redeem it when it's in its natural state. Because, again, the only thing that the Torah recognizes as liquids retaining the status of their parent fruit is grapes and olives. In fact, it's considered to be better. That olive oil is considered to be a higher quality, more important food than just eating olives. And wine is considered to be a more important food item, beverage, than grapes. About pidyon hu. So how do you do it? How do you redeem the neta revai? She'omrim peiros elu yiyu mechulolin. Oh, so according to, so we have a problem then, because if you, let's say you have an orange that's neta revai, and you forgot about this din and you juice it, so now can you redeem it or not, or does the juice remain not kosher forever? So that's a big question. You have three options. A, since you juiced it already, maybe you could redeem it now because you have no other choice. B, maybe since it's just Zeya Ba'alma, it's not recognized as being the part of the fruit, then, and being a fruit, it's just a juice, so maybe you, even though you weren't supposed to, you got rid of the whole halacha of Neta Revai from it, you're allowed to eat it without redemption. Or the other option is that it remains not kosher forever. You have no, it wasn't made out of non-redeemed oranges, and now you juiced it, and now you can't redeem it, so you have no choice but to consider the orange juice not kosher forever. There's just not saying apple juice, whatever, prune juice, whatever it is. All these things would be problematic. It's known that this is one of the famous machlokes, which I'll probably discuss more when we get to Trumas and Maaseris, between the Chazon Ish and the Brisker Rav. The Chazon Ish and the Brisker Rav had a fundamental difference of attitude. The Chazon Ish was very practical. He says, you know, there's solutions, there's halacha, there's, you know, we figure it out, we'll get to the root of the problem, we'll figure out what to do, and the halacha can address the situation. The Brisker Rav was more, you know, Theoretical. We come to the understanding of what the pure din is that the Torah wants from us in this situation, and that's it. It doesn't have to really correspond to, correspond to reality, but you know, it's more of an ideal as opposed to getting your rolling up your sleeves and getting to work in real life. So they had this disagreement regarding Stam of Trumas Umaisris, that let's say you have orange juice, we'll use our example. So it was juiced from oranges that were not tithed. You're supposed to tithe oranges before you juice them. But you juice it from oranges that were not tithed. So the Chazanish said, okay, so you have this, so it's Zeya Balma, but Lamaisa, it's Chayiv and Trumas Umaisris, because it came from something, it's Chayiv and Trumas Umaisris. So, worst comes to worst, so you juice the, you tithe the orange juice. The Brisker Rav said, no. If you didn't tithe the oranges before they were juiced, the orange juice is not kosher forever, and you have no way, since it's not considered fruit. On the one hand, it came out of a fruit which is not kosher because it wasn't tithed. On the other hand, now it does not have the status of fruit. So you can't tithe it. So therefore, the Brisker Rav paskened that if you have orange juice that was juiced from juices that were not tithed, the orange juice is not kosher forever, and there's nothing that can be done about it. And of course, most poskim agree with the Chaznish. Rabbi Amar, the former chief rabbi of Israel, current chief rabbi of Yerushalayim, has an essay in his some collection I saw about Trumas Umaisris, where he collects all the shittas in the typical Rav Avadia student fashion, and he says that the vast majority of poskim agree with the Chaznish in this situation, and that in fact is the minhag of most people in Eretz Yisrael. So you have chumras al gabi chumras, because as is well known, the Brisker Rav was makbid to miser everything himself. He didn't rely on anyone else for the separating of Trumas Umaisris, because we'll discuss it again in more detail later, but there's a halacha called demai. The Chazal said, we remove the Eid Echad Neman B'Yisurin, that every Jew is believed about Kashrus, from Trumas Umaisris. You can only believe certain people. Midaraisa, of course, you can believe them. It's regular Eid Echad Neman B'Yisurin. The Chazal removed the trustworthiness from regular Jews regarding Trumas Umaisris, and you had to be a special type of person. You had to publicly accept and declare your diktuk about separating Trumas Umaisris properly, and only then could you be believed regarding the separation of Trumas Umaisris. So again, most poskim, the Chaznish and others, felt that since we don't have the official institution anymore, so it goes by what's if someone is recognized as a medaktik b'mitzvos, and known that he meisers everything, so then you go by that, and you can eat by that person. So the Brisker Rav said, no, since we don't have this official institution anymore of accepting someone as a neman al hameisres, that publicly we brand this person a neman al hameisres, so mimela, you're not allowed to believe anyone nowadays regarding Trumas Umaisris. You have to meiser either yourself, or you have to be your personal shliach. If you're mamana shliach, a messenger to separate it for you, then that will work also. So the Brisker Rav basically never drank orange juice, because you buy orange juice at the store, so it wasn't meisered by an individual, by himself. It was meisered by the hechsher. So he considered this to be suffet, to be demai. So then he has nothing to. There's no way he could drink this orange juice, because he held that you're not allowed to meiser it now himself. So the only way he would drink orange juice, I don't know if he ever did drink orange juice, but the only way he could drink orange juice, like briskers nowadays. You have to buy the oranges, you have to meisah them yourself, and then squeeze it yourself as you drink oranges.
Is this the designation of chaver, or is that another extension?
Chaver is really, is used also for the neman al meisres, but chaver in its original form is being neman al taros.
Ah, okay.
Which is also required a special status. But most people assume that in Eretz Yisrael, you're allowed to rely on the hechsher for separating Trumas Umaisris, as long as it's whatever hechsher you normally hold by. As if it's a good hechsher if you consider it to be a fully reliable hechsher, then since the community appointed these people, this body, to be their representatives, if not a formal minoy shlichus, making them your messenger, but since these are recognized to the community as where people are responsible for separating Trumas Umaisris, so then that is an acceptable solution, and you're allowed to rely on a good hechsher for separating Trumas Umaisris. You don't have to meiser yourself. But some people feel that even if technically the hechsher is believed regarding the separating of Trumas Umaisris, since it's something that's much more liable to have things go awry with it, than other areas of kashrus because it's hard to keep track of. You have fruits in one corner that were tied and not tied. There's no way of telling the difference as opposed to if you're supervising a slaughterhouse, so you have potentially more serious violations to be dealt with, but at least they're physical things you could tell. Either the shechita was done properly or wasn't done properly. Either you can feel the lung, either it's kosher or it's not kosher. It's there are a lot of mix-ups that are very well documented to go on with the separation of Shrumas and Maisos, even in very good Hesherim, do the best job they can. We assume Maker Adin, that's good. But a lot of people, even if they're not briskers, per se, are makbid as much as possible to separate the Shrumas and Maisos themselves personally as opposed to relying on the Hesher. And they'll eat if they're not briskers, they'll eat in someone else's house who they know is, you know, careful to do this themselves also. But it's not a crazy chumrah. If anybody, it's very hard. But if anybody tells you they do this, so don't immediately dismiss them as this is totally off the deep end. It's not nuts. To meiser things yourself. Vapidyon hu sheomrim perus elu yehu mechulolin al kesef ze. So how do you do it? You have your coins, and you say that the netta revai, the fourth year produce, should be redeemed onto these coins. Ve'en mechulolin b'chach. And they are redeemed thus. Umale hakesef ochel b'Yerushalayim, and you take the money to Yerushalayim and you eat it. Not the money, but you buy things with the money, and then you eat it there.
Say that your kavana as to which fruit you're designating is good enough. You don't just go ahead and put it into a separate room or something like that. Say everything in this room is now being transferred into this money.
Wait a minute. Well, it doesn't have to be separated into a room. No.
In other words, let's say, for example, that supposing that you go ahead, you've harvested, you know, your orchard, or it was,
yeah,
and you realize there's a mixture of netravai and, you know, older, you know, fruit from older trees in there.
Yeah.
Then you could simply say, okay, whatever there is that's in there, you know, which I know say is 10%, you don't have to go ahead and actually separate out the fruit to designate
it. Yeah, correct. Yeah, sure, absolutely.
Yeah.
You could be, you know, you're... Maybe you're on a business trip in China and your wife calls you from Eretz Yisrael and says, you know, they're harvesting the fruits today. And you say, what? I didn't tell them which one was Revai, which one was not Revai, da da da. So you just say, after they finish harvesting, you have your coins, you say all the Revai should be on these coins. It goes completely by Kavana. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. It's actually interesting because the Chazal talk about what happens in Shemitah. So you have, in Shemitah, anybody's allowed to come into your orchard and just take whatever they want, because everything is hefker during Shemitah. So if you have Orla in your field, so what are you going to do? Everyone's going to come in and just start taking. They're not going to know it's Orla, but Safek Orla in Eretz Yisrael is Usser. So you have to mark it. You know, there's these spray paint things that you paint the ground with.
They had lime,
ground lime. And they used to mark, you know, the trees with an X or something, so people should know that it's not that it's Orla, and they even in Shemitah they're not allowed to take it. So
I thought you said Sofek Orla is okay.
No, I'm talking Eretz Yisrael.
Oh.
And Chutz LaAretz is no Shemitah either.
Just in Chutz LaAretz.
No, right. Only Chutz. Right. Only Sofek Orla in Chutz LaAretz. Yeah. So the question is to whether there's Revai. If there's fourth year produce during Shemitah, so what do you do? People are going to come and take it. They're not going to know it's Revai. So there were two different systems. So the less religious people, it says, used to just have another different marking that was clear that it was Revai, so you take it, but you're responsible for the pidyon. Mm-hmm. So it says the tznuin, the more religious medaktic people, used to have coins set aside at home and saying that any Revai that somebody takes from my field should be redeemed onto these coins. So in order to, you know, make sure that people are eating 100% kosher without any... problem whatsoever. So it's a very nice thing to do. The Amar Shmuel beGemara Zok Shmuel sheHekde Shave Monech sheChilo Shave Pruta Mechulal. So we have a din Ein Ona'a beKodshim. You can't cheat God. So if you say that you have $10,000 worth of Netar Avai or Maaser Sheni, and you have a coin worth a pruta, and you say I want these all to be redeemed on the coin that's worth a pruta, then it's redeemed. It works b'dieved that the fruit is redeemed and your pruta, one pruta coin, has absorbed all the value of
that's
these
only
produce.
Not going up to
hold on.
More than a pruta on whiskey, right? And steak and stuff.
Right. Avalo b'pachos mishavet pruta. Avalo b'pachos mishavet pruta, not less than a shavet pruta, because that's the minimum monetary value in halacha. She'ein lo din kesef l'shum davar. V'hu adin l'pei reservai. It's the same thing that if you redeemed the... I will see him say, if you're allowed to do this nowadays. So in the times where you could actually eat Revai and Maiser Sheni in Yerushalayim, so this was not to be really condoned, that you're not really supposed to do this. But nowadays, since we don't eat Maiser Sheni and Eter Revai at all, so you're allowed to do this L'chatchila. You say all the Revai and all the Maiser Sheni should be redeemed onto one pruta, or maybe not both, maybe you can't put them on the same pruta, but... But if you have a coin with a couple prutas on it, you say, you know, one pruta of the coin will be for this, one pruta of the coin will be for this. Yeah, you don't have to do one coin at a time. Each pruta value contained within the coin can separately redeem one batch of Maaser Sheni or Neter Revai. So if you have a dime, which maybe has five prutas in it, prutas is value of a certain amount of silver. So it doesn't actually have the amount of silver in it, but it's worth that if you could buy this tiny amount of silver with five times with a dime. So as many prutas are contained within the value of the coin, that many redemptions of Maaser Sheni Neter Revai you can use that coin for. So kerem revai, ein lo shikha upeya velo perid veololos. So remember, we were talked about before in this parsha, all the gifts to the poor that you have to give from your field and from your vineyard. Mm-hmm. The grapes that just fall by themselves and the corner of the field and whatever. So all these things are not noheg in Neter Revai. They're not applicable. It says kerem revai because perid and ololos, those the grapes that fall down during the, or the little grapes, the ones that are during the harvest, that only applies to a vineyard. That doesn't apply to a regular field. Mm-hmm. But... it applies to all, that's why he uses the example of vineyard, because he wants to give you all the examples. But all the gifts to the poor in any field of Revai is not applicable. The entire field is Neter Revai, and it completely belongs to the owner of the field. Vein mafrish mimenu trumos maestros, you don't tithe it either. Elokulo ole lirushalayim. That it all goes into goes up to Yerushalayim and you eat it there. Or you can, of course, redeem it and take the money to Yerushalayim. So if you look on Israeli wines, so it says most of the wines, it says lo chashash orla tevel ushvias, not orla, not tevel ushvias, but it should say revai also. It should say lo chashash revai. Of course, they can redeem it, but if it was revai, then you would have to redeem it yourself. So hopefully the Heksher redeemed it for you already, if they're doing their job. If it in fact is Revai. V'din, Masha'am Rezichon Levracha, me'emosai mo'nit rosh hashana li'Revai. When do you count the years for Revai? Which is a very big issue, because it doesn't go, you think that you plant a tree, you say, okay, clock starts ticking, you know, I don't know, it's 3 years. 1,000 days from now, more than whatever it is. 3 years, you count the days, and you say, well, at the end of those days, okay, done, no more Orla, then the year after that is Revai. But that's not true. It goes according to the Jewish year. It goes according to Rosh Hashanah. So if you plant the tree 44 days before Rosh Hashanah, how do I get the number 44? About Tubav, or one the day after Tubav. So the tree takes 2 weeks to take root, and get officially planted after you plant the seed. And then you have 30 days, and 30 days is the minimum amount that can count for the year. So therefore, if you plant the tree 44 days before Rosh Hashanah, then that counts as your first year. Those 44 days count as the first year of Orla, and you keep two more calendar years. And then after Tu B'Shvat, again, that's exactly which cases you have to wait until Tu B'Shvat, but basically after Tu B'Shvat, after those two full years, then you're allowed to eat, then it's Revai. It's no more Orla.
There are two New Years then involved. There's Rosh Hashanah, you said?
Correct.
And yeah. Tu B'Shvat.
Tu B'Shvat is the New Year for fruits that exist already, not for the trees themselves. Oh. Rosh Hashanah, Lilonos, Laperos, it's not really for the trunk of the tree, it's more for the fruits of the tree. Okay. That's why you have to wait till Tu B'Shvat if for the fruits, once the tree was already planted, which goes by a regular Rosh Hashanah. Yeah. So in that case, so really you could have Orla for you know, 2 years and change in terms of, you know, the length of time, even though it counts as counts as 3 years. V'chein ma she'amru shekol shu chayev be'orla chayev be'revai. So if you don't, you orla and revai go together. After the orla comes the revai. But let's say you have a tree that you planted for to serve simply as the fence of your garden. So we said last week that that is not reliable to orla. That if the tree happens to produce fruit, you're allowed to eat it as long as your real intention was not to. Well, you weren't planting it for fruit. You were only planting it to be a fence. But let's say, you know, at the very end of the third year, you said, "Oh, you know, this tree really has nice fruit. You know, I'm not going to use this. I'm going to make a new fence a little farther off, and I'm going to eat the fruit from this tree." So then that tree would not be chayev in revai either, because since the tree was not chayev in orla, now you're starting the fourth year, and you might think you would just go straight to revai and not orla. So that's not the case. It needs to be preceded by orla in order to have revai.
Wait, so you have another 3 years, and then
no, nothing. You're done.
Oh,
you're good.
Okay, got it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Orla can only start from the planting of the tree. Orla can't start.
Oh, so it's the kavana of whoever's planting it.
You can change your mind in the middle of the first 3 years, and then the remaining year and a half will be orla. But once, but
it'd be very convenient to sort of think, gee, I'm just planting all these fruit trees for decoration, and then you know, at the end of the third year, say,
Well, that's what we call in halacha muchacha milsa. That it's obvious that that's not the case.
Uh-huh.
So even
work
right, so it has to be clear that you're probably planting it as a fence of the tree. You really weren't planning to take the fruit. But most farmers, when they're planting an orchard, you can't say that I want them all to be fences for each other. It doesn't work. That does not work.
The smell from the blossoms in the spring.
Over mitzvahs orla narich bezeh bezras Hashem. We'll go into detail. Well, we already went into detail. We have to talk in past tense. Benichtov eze ilan chayev bezbav eze davar beilan. What type of tree, in other words, has to be planted for fruit, and what part of the tree, in other words, the fruit and the seeds thereof, and the peels, but not the other parts of the tree. That's not chayev and orla. So if you chop off a branch from an orla tree, and you want to replant it, that's okay. You don't say the branch is aser b'hana, because only the fruit is aser b'hana, not the branch. Umimena nilmad l'revai. So the same thing applies to revai. V'yeser kol pratam evar meperek acharon v'maiser sheni. The last perek in maseches maiser sheni. V'noheges mitzvah zo. Bizman habayis v'aretz v'zchar munikevos. Aba lo b'chutz l'aretz. Okay. This is going to need a little bit of analysis. So this mitzvah is applicable in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, in Eretz Yisrael, and it applies to both males and females, because it's a mitzvah saseh, shelo hazman groma. It has nothing to do with the time. Whenever you plant the fruit tree and you harvest the fruits, you have to bring it to Yerushalayim. Avalo bechutza la'aretz. The mitzvah of revai is inapplicable outside the land of Israel. He says, of course, it applies in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, because that's the only time, when there's a Mizbeach, is the only time where you can bring the Revai to Yerushalayim and eat it there. The Chenkos of a Rambam, Zichron al-Racha, the Rambam says that there's no Revai whatsoever in Chutz La'aretz. Even if you planted the tree, you know exactly when it was planted, you know that it's Orla, so you're not allowed to eat the fruit of that tree for the first 3 years. There's no Revai. The fourth year is nothing, it's completely regular. Kishem Shein Meiser Sheini Besuria Kache Net Revai Besuria Adkan. So Syria, a certain region of Syria, where Chazal decreed that certain of them, because a lot of Jews live there and is right next to Eretz Yisrael, so a lot of mitzvos hatluyos varetz are applicable midrabanan in Syria, but there's no Maizer Sheni in Syria. So therefore, there's no Revai in Syria either, so of course it doesn't apply even farther away than Syria and other parts of the world. The Chol Shekein b'chutz la'aretz. Okay, that's the sheet of the Rambam. But we're going to see in a minute that that's not what everybody says. V'yeshmei rabuseinu shehorunu. This sheet originated in the Geonim. Hashem yishmerim v'chayim shechiyuv mitzvah zo hu afilu achshav ba'aretz. So in the land of Israel, it's deraisa even nowadays, because it has to do with kedushas haaretz. It doesn't have to do with the Mizbeach Banoi. I mean, you can't eat it, but it's not dependent on that. Also, the Rambam says that what's the lashon of the pasuk by Orla? He doesn't say this outright, I don't think, by Orla, but the Mefarshim, the Minchas Chinuch over here, points out also that the lashon by is kisavo el haaretz untatem kol eitz meichel, that when you come to the land, so the Rambam holds by Trumas v'Maisris, because also says kisavo el haaretz when you come to the land, so it's only when all of the Jewish people comes to the land. So it's only when most of the Jewish people live in Eretz Israel that Trumas v'Maisris is deraisa. It doesn't say that by Orla, but some people extrapolate, he quotes here the Noda Behuda, and Tzlach is the same as Noda Behuda. The Tzlach is a commentary on the Anshas of the, by the Noda Behuda. So he writes that Orla is not deraisa even nowadays in Eretz Yisrael, which is not really accepted. We really accept the Shita that Orla is deraisa nowadays in Eretz Yisrael. And the Chinuch, like I said, the Rambam doesn't say that explicitly, but the Chinuch is extrapolating here in the Shita Sarambam. Vafilu bechutzel aretz noheg kerem revai midrabanan. So this shita, which is the shita of the Geonim, which the Sefer HaChinuch's teachers apparently paskel like also, the mitzvah of revai in chutz laaretz is applicable only to vineyards and not to regular trees.
Why?
How does that come? So the Gemara in the beginning, the Brachos of all places, in the beginning of Perak Ketzad Mevarchin, discusses the issue of Netar Avai and brings, surprisingly, that there's a machlokes tanoim, that some tanoim hold that Revai in general only applies to vineyards and not to all fruit trees. And some, but the majority opinion of the tanoim, obviously, that we accept is that it applies to all fruit trees. Anything that's chayav in Orla is chayav in Revai also. So some of the Rishonim say, Toisus over there in the Gemara, some of the Geonim say like this also, that we have a principle, kol hamekel ba'aretz halacha lemoso b'chutz l'aretz. So since all of the mitzvos hatuyos ba'aretz, the agricultural mitzvos, insofar as they apply outside the land of Israel, are only derabanan. So you have a right to go leniently. So if there's any shita that is lenient in Eretz Yisrael, even if we don't go like that shita in Eretz Yisrael, where it's a shayla of deraisa, you can go like that shita in chutz aretz. So the Geonim say that since there is a shita, even though we don't accept that at all, that Netar Revai is only applicable to vineyards in Eretz Yisrael, so we accept that shita in Chutz La'aretz and Netar Revai only applies to vineyards and not to regular produce. There is another shita in the Rishonim that Netar Revai is completely applicable in Chutz La'aretz to everything. So the Shach, in his commentary on the Shulchan Aruch, the major commentaries on Shulchan Aruch, says that for that reason you should redeem all Netar Revai, including a vineyard and including regular Netar Revai, in order to satisfy all the opinions that you should redeem both of them without a bracha. Because there's a shita, you don't have to make a bracha even on Kerem, on a vineyard, because the Rambam molds even Kerem is not applicable outside the land of Israel. But again, this only applies to Vadai, of course, because it's connected to Orla. So if you don't know something is Revai, you don't have to worry about it. There's not so much application here outside the land of Israel, but nevertheless, it's good to know what the din is. Ulefize tzarech kol adam achshav liftos peros kerem avay shelo al shavet pruta o yoser. That nowadays, if you have a vineyard outside the land of Israel, say you own a vineyard in California, a Jew owns a vineyard, and then he has to redeem the kerem revai on a Shavet Pruta, but we said nowadays in a situation where you're not actually taking the money or the fruits to eat in Yerushalayim, then you're allowed to use a Pruta, even a tiny amount of money, to redeem even an enormous amount of Netar Avai. Gam Amru Shemivarchin al Pidiyah, you make a bracha on the Pidiyah. Vacharichein Mashlich HaPidyon Liyam HaMelech. So what do? You throw the coins into the sea, you have to destroy them somehow. Kolomar L'makom HaAved, or really any place where they'll be destroyed. Kidei Shelo Yehanebo Birya. Lefishu kadosh hayomi derabanan. It's still nowadays. It's at least holy midrabanan. V'achar kach ochel peros karmo. Then you can eat the fruit of the vineyard as much as you want. Aval net derabai eino noeg klal bechutz laaretz afilu midrabanan. Again, that's the majority opinion. But the Shach recommends being machmir even chutz laaretz. V'overal mitzvah zov v'lo heila peros lirushalayim. O pidyonan bizman abayis. O shelo pidon ba'aretz kedaras ketzas ha'mefarshim. Afilu achshav Again, maybe it's the right statement now, that if you didn't fulfill the mitzvah of the Nazir, either redeeming them or taking them to Yerushalayim, bital seisa, velo chafetz bebracha, you don't want the blessing that that comes to your produce based on this. So makayma yebarach. But if you do fulfill this mitzvah, then you shall in fact be blessed.